Tonight, I'd like to invite you to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 1. Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 1.
Jeremiah, chapter 24, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem and had brought them to Babylon." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together in your house. Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we do thank you for your presence. We do ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and build the faith and the grace that you've given to us in our lives, that we might honor and glorify you and be a blessing and the light that you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "What the Lord Showed Jeremiah." What the Lord showed Jeremiah. First, he showed two baskets of figs that were set before the temple of the Lord. So that's important. So he showed, again, the two baskets of figs that were set before the temple of the Lord. Secondly, he showed the good figs. And then thirdly, we'll look at the evil figs here that he showed unto Jeremiah. So the situation is here that God was judging his people, but there was a promise behind it. You know, the Lord allows things into our lives, and basically they're for our good, are they not? How many of the things of God that he lets into our lives are for our good? All of them. So even this time where they had really rejected the Lord, they had set up idols, not only in their hearts, but obviously physically set up idols. And so God was allowing Nebuchadnezzar to come in and to carry them away into Babylon, into captivity. And so that was going to be a good thing, but there were some that were staying there. There were some that were fleeing over into Egypt. And what happened was God said, "No, that's a problem. That's not where I want you to go." But here's the thing. God gives us the freedom to make our choices as to whether we follow him or whether we don't. So there were those that yielded and listened to what the Lord was doing, and they were kept together. Even though they were in Babylon, at least they had the camaraderie of being together. But the other ones, they were dispersed throughout all the world, and they were on their own. They were kind of by themselves. But the important thing is how God works in our lives. And sometimes things don't make sense, but the Lord is always on cue, and he's always doing things for his glory and for our blessing. So look at verse 1 again here as we consider this here. And again, here's the providence of the Lord working, and he's wanting to bless his people, but it needs to be mixed by faith, right? And the faith part is that God truly works out everything for our good, even when we don't understand it. And sometimes the Lord will bring judgment into our lives. But why is he doing that? Well, that we might walk upright before him and that we might turn back towards him. And that requires faith or trust, right? Those words are interchangeable. We need to trust the Lord that he's working things out for our good. Now, so in our lives, we don't always really trust the Lord. Sometimes, if we really trusted the Lord, would we get upset when things didn't go our way? No, we'd say, "Lord, you're allowing this." And would we be concerned or anxious or fretting? We wouldn't do that. But if we're not believing the Lord's involved, then that can happen. We can get anxious and we can fret about things. But notice what the Lord says here. Again, verse 1, "The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah." Now, if you remember, Ezekiel was carried away into captivity. Daniel was carried away into captivity. And so they were all there, but the Lord was working in their lives as a nation for their good. And then it says this, that they had taken the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem there at the end of verse 1 and had brought them to Babylon. Now, I don't know why they did that, but they took the smiths and the carpenters. Maybe they had some special things they wanted built. I don't know. And they heard about the reputation of their builders. Or maybe they didn't want them to be able to fortify themselves and to be able to have a defense against, you know, the king coming back in there. I don't know exactly the reason behind that, but it's just kind of interesting here that Babylon was taking here, Nebuchadnezzar here, but here he is taking these people captive with him. And then notice as we consider this here, what's going on, we find the vision of the figs. Look at verse 2. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. That's pretty bad, right? They had over-ripened, they had spoiled, and they probably didn't smell very good. You wouldn't want to touch those things, right? And so here the Lord is working with Jeremiah, and he's showing him these two figs, and he's getting this in his understanding. He's seeing this. Notice verse 3, then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? Isn't that good? The Lord wants us to understand. He communicates with us. He asks at different times in the New Testament, how do you read the scriptures, right? How do you see it? That's important because that's the Lord working in our lives to reveal to us how we see things. And so it's important for us to think about what God is saying and how do we see those things. And so the Lord asks him, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And he said, figs. The good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They're so evil. So here's this big distinction concerning these figs. And now we find what the Lord says here about the good figs. Look at verse 4. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their what? For their good. Did you see that? For their good. So who's the one that sent them out? The Lord. But he did do it by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, right? That's how they say it here. We call him Nebuchadnezzar. But that was the vehicle that the Lord used. Now there was other people that were there in the kingdom of Israel and Judah. There they didn't want to go. They said, no way. The Lord wants us to be taken captive. But the right prophets were saying, yes, that's what the Lord's will is, and he would take care of us. But they could not understand that God would do that to them. And by the way, they were in rebellion to the Lord, and he was chastening them. But he said, if you'll go, I will work this out for your good. And so that requires us to trust the Lord. And so he's likening these good figs that will one day be used again, right, for the honor and glory of the Lord and for their blessing, and God would even work in their lives while they were there. So he says these are what their good figs are like. Look at verse 5 again. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried. Did you see that? Those that are carried, God is going to take note of them. He's going to acknowledge them. That means those that don't go down, they're not going to be acknowledged. Right? So the Lord sometimes allows things into our lives. Sometimes he brings things into our lives to work in our lives for the honor and glory of the Lord. Why would it honor and glorify the Lord? Because we have to trust him. Right? We're trusting him. We're saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you in this. Right? Isn't that the way it should work in everything that happens in life? Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. How long does the Lord hold us in his hands? Forever, throughout all, right now at the point of salvation and all the way until we see him in eternity, and all the way through eternity, the Lord will always hold us in his hands. So even when things don't make sense, God has us in his hands. Our part is the trusting part. Our part is the faith part to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you even when things don't make sense. Have things ever not made sense in your life, right? Things happen, you wonder, why is this going on? Why is this happening? Trust and be assured the Lord is in control of everything, and his will come to pass. So if we trust the Lord to work in our lives, will he build our faith? Yeah. Will he strengthen the grace that he's given to us? Yeah. Will he work in our lives? But if we walk in an unbelieving direction, we're still his child, but we're not receiving all of the benefits and the direction that God is wanting to bring into our lives. So again, he says, let me read verse 5 again. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place, he's the one that's doing it, into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Now notice verse 6 here, it says, for I will set mine eyes upon them for what? Isn't that good? So the Lord's, you know, the Lord only needs to say something once for it to be important and good, right? But when he's repeating it, he's wanting us to get this. He's wanting us to understand. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. What a promise. God says, I'm going to bring you back. Rest assured, this is necessary. It may not be pleasant, but I'll be with you. And I'm going to do it for your good, right? Isn't that great? So we find here what the good figs are like. And then the last thought here, there's only 10 verses in this chapter here. We're gonna find here what's going on, in verse 8. But look at verse 7. And I will give them a heart to do what? To know me. Look at what the Lord is doing in their lives. They're being taken captive. But the Lord said, in the process of this trial, in the process of this difficulty in your life, here's what I'm doing, and I will give them a heart to know me. Amen. Right? It's important that God gives us a heart to know him, and we have to trust him when things don't make sense. Lord, give me a heart to know what you're doing, right? Give me a heart to trust you even when things don't make sense. So he says, and I will give them a heart to know me, and notice that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me, listen to this, with their whole what? With their whole heart, with all their heart. God says this is the purpose, and the reason for that, because their heart had gone by the wayside for the Lord. They had gotten carried away and forgotten the Lord, and now the Lord, in doing this, his whole purpose, his whole motive for doing this is to bring them into a place where they have a heart for God. So wouldn't you say, whatever it takes, Lord, to give me a heart for you would be something that I should have, right? And so again, remember, it may not be pleasant, but it will be good. It may not be easy, but God will bring it to pass as we trust him by faith. All right, the last thought here. And these are the evil figs, and this is, so the Lord gave us a promise to bless those that trust him, and now the Lord has a promise against those that do not trust him, right? So look at verse 8, he says here, and as the evil figs, so remember, Jeremiah saw these, both of them, right? He said, now these are good. He said, these others in the other basket, I don't even want to get near them, they're pretty bad. So the Lord is putting this understanding in Jeremiah's head, is he not? Yes. Listen, the Lord is putting this understanding in our heads tonight as well, yes. Right? He's saying, boy, these are good. We don't have to smell bad figs to know they're bad, do we? We know, listen, when something is rotten like that and putrid, boy, I don't even know how I guess some animals can eat them, but I don't think you and I would want to touch them, right? So notice verse 8 again. He says, and as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. So they're going their own way. And I will deliver them to be, notice, removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their what? Listen, disobedience to the Lord is a serious thing, even for a child of God. He said, they're not even going to have the camaraderie of being together with other believers, right? You know, isn't it a strange thing when you're in the world and there's no believers around? Don't you kind of feel a little bit out of place a little bit sometimes? But how about if you have two or three other believers with you? Doesn't that bring a camaraderie? Doesn't that bring the Spirit of the Lord involved, right? And we can kind of fellowship, and we can not really pay attention to the world. The world's doing its thing, and we can be doing our thing with the Lord and with fellowshipping one with another. But when they disobeyed the Lord says, I'm going to see to it that they're all by themselves. They're not going to be able to have that camaraderie as if they would have followed me into Babylon, they would have been together. But now since they wanted to go away from what I'm doing, they're going to be separated. So again, verse 8, he says, and as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places, whether I shall drive them. So that's the promise of the Lord. The Lord is saying, because of what they're doing, this is what I'm going to do. Because they've rejected my direction. Because they've rejected. See, it's different. You know, these are the people of the Lord. And so they are blood-bought. I know it's future tense, but they're still under the covenant of God, and which is going to be the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they belong to the Lord. And you and I, if we belong to the Lord, it's important that we seek the Lord and not get distracted and not set up idols in our hearts or things that would come before the Lord that would keep us from the goodness of the Lord and distract us. You know, the world never really satisfies, does it? The world doesn't really bring any kind of satisfaction, really. But there's enough there to draw us away from the Lord. But the best place that we have is with the Lord that brings peace. It brings joy. It brings contentment. It brings fulfillment. It brings the love of God. It brings the peace of God. And it brings all the blessings of the Lord into our lives. And so the question God is really saying, what do you want? Is he not? Choose you this day, amen, whom you'll serve. It's always been our choice. And when we need to weigh these things out, we need to say, more important than anything else is our relationship with the Lord. And we seek that through his word and through prayer, asking the Lord to open up our understanding as we read the word of God, being dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds. And then not just in our mental state, but then in the things we do physically, how we walk through this world, that we might do it in the confidence of the Lord, that he is going to guide us and glorify himself through our lives. So again, verse 9, it says this, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, these are the bad figs, for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt, a curse, in all places whether I shall send them, and I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. He's saying, listen, it only works one way. And that's the Lord's way. Why? Because he is God. Amen. He is God. He's the one that paid the price. He is the one that created us. He is the one that in eternity past, get this, in eternity past, he saw that you and I would need a Savior. Amen. And he so loved the world that he gave us who? Jesus Christ, his Son. He gave us his Son. He gave unworthy us, his Son. Isn't that great? What a loving God. What a merciful God. He saw that. He knows who we are and what we are, and yet he still loves us. For how long? Forever. Do you really believe that? The world can get us to doubt that. The flesh can get us to doubt that. But that doesn't mean it's true, does it? The Word of God tells us that God always will always love us. And sometimes the flesh and the world can get in there, and how would you say they would try to deceive us, and that's why we need to look to the Lord and trust him, and that's his word and what he has said, even when it doesn't seem to make sense, and even when it may not be too tasteful, we can still trust the Lord because he wants to do nothing but good for each and every one of us. So the Lord showed Jeremiah these things. And he showed us tonight these things that we might walk in his way and in his will. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the word of encouragement that you give to us. Lord, we can truly trust you no matter what happens. Lord, you are in control and we thank you for that. And that truly, Lord, you want to work out all things for our good and your glory. And Lord, may we be on board with you that you might be glorified and that our lives would be blessed with your goodness. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.